Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Williams, and joining me today is Jeff Clossy.
Hey, Jay. Good morning.
Hey, when I'm not here, who intros the podcast?
Christoph.
Oh, he does.
He sits in front of the computer.
Yep. And does he say he's the host?
I'm trying to remember. He said something clever last week, to be honest with you, but
no.
I can't remember what it was. Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he's good at it.
Now we'll find out if he listens.
I don't know if I became a host when you weren't here saying that you were the host, but he did say something clever. Yeah.
Well, speaking of saying things clever.
Here we go.
Look at us jumping right in. We're just jumping right in. We're jumping right in because there was a delayed start for schools this morning, and we're just kind of trying to crunch things in, and we're trying to get caught up because I was out teaching last week, so you and I haven't had a chance to catch up. So we did, and now we need to do the podcast.
Yeah, the Lord's Prayer.
The Lord's Prayer.
We already got the things not worth your time out of the way, and we can get right into it.
Right. People are going to be so shocked. That was less than a minute. I looked at it. It was like 35 seconds of nonsense. But now I'm bringing up the nonsense again. So now it's past. So now it's a minute 15 of nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's
All right,
go.
So
let's
Lord's run. Prayer.
Yeah, man.
So, hey.
I cannot believe that we as a church get to do this series. Can I just start there? Like at a high level? We're doing these, you know, just get everyone up to speed again. Remember what we've done. You might have forgot Sunday already, but we are doing a spiritual practice a week for two more weeks, for 4 weeks in a row. We often start the year this way, right? Kind of refocusing on our walk with Jesus, on what we're doing as a church, kind of some big picture vision. And this year we're just doing spiritual practices, 5-minute ones that are really actually, if you boil them down, they're very simple, right? They're not complicated. But because of God's Spirit and the way He works, they can be super transformative. And as I was prepping last week and thinking about it, I was just feeling like, man, I am so thankful that I am connected in brothers and sisters in a body where this is what we're doing together, and we get to do it. I don't know if you've had that feeling at all, Jay, about this, but I'm just thankful that that's where we are right now. That we get up and say these things, and people aren't like, "Why are we talking about this?" Like there's actually some eagerness of like, yes, let's do this. It's really cool.
I think so. Yes. It's such an interesting thing.
Just keep
thing.
Agreeing with me. I like the podcast where that happens.
Yeah. Yes, Jeff, you're so correct. Everything you say.
Thank
you. Because here's the pressure I think that I feel especially from our ecclesiological background, which means our church background.
Dude, say it like we say it.
Say it like Well, the church background,
listen to you.
We're used to, and our norm is, you know, preaching through books of the Bible and sometimes pretty heady stuff and sometimes pretty deep and intense stuff. And so this can feel like such a change up, such an off speed pitch that I think sometimes people can feel like, well, oh, I already know this. Like, so I guess here's what I'm saying
is
that I think we so often think of the sermon as what it's supposed to do is give me information I don't know. And I mean, the reality is that you should pretty much in any sermon, there's probably going to be something you didn't know. You and I, when we preach it, there's always something that we preach that we didn't know or wasn't on the front of our mind as we study. But we can get lulled into thinking that's the thing.
Yes.
That it's information, and it's not. The point of preaching is to look at the diamond of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus from all these different angles, through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, and then to call people to respond to Him, to follow Him. And so, yes, I love getting an opportunity to really just dig into this idea of these very practical things that we can do that have very deep biblical and theological undergirdings, but then play out in these very simple ways that can then have a big effect.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I hear what you're saying too. And I think some of that, for some of us who grew up in this like stream of church, like this kind of flavor, right? I think it also reveals how we view the Word of God sometimes, you know, like, and we've talked about that before, but if the Word of God is something that we need to master it. And what we mean by that is like study it and be able to say what it means or something or what it says. And that's part of it, right? We want to know it. That's an important part of it. But if that's primarily what it is, yeah, the way you approach even hearing a sermon is kind of that way. But if the Bible is actually a book about a story about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus as its central theme, right? And a story of change and transformation, then it the way you hear it is so different. And to me, the beautiful thing about, you know, all of our preaching here, I mean that, but also I think specifically when we get real practical in these ones, is that we get to unpack what could it look like? You know, what could it look like to begin to envision our everyday lives in a fresh way or take another angle on it, you know, if it's already something you do. So, yeah, I know this morning driving in here, I caught myself. I was kind of slipping and sliding a little bit. And my mind was already on, here's the things that I need to get done today, right? And I think many people probably start their days there. Like you're just, before you know it, your mind is already thinking, all right, I get this done, make sure I don't forget this, and then do this. And because, I mean, by God's grace, I've had this moment of like, how about you sing a song on the way to church? And so I did. And one of the ones I sang was one of the ones we linked to on our playlist. And then the Lord's Prayer song that we have out there for this week. And I can tell you, by the time I got, I actually had to like sit in my car for a few minutes when I got here because it engaged me. I feel like I realigned myself with what God is doing rather than my project for the day. It was like, here we go. That's right, God. This is about you. This is about your kingdom. This is about Jesus. And if I get to that task list, it will be as I walk with you. And it's just such a different way of existing for me. And so I'm just saying, I guess vulnerably, I need it. I need these things in my life to help me keep focused on him. And he works through them, you know? So that playlist is fun. You know, I had a funny experience too. One other quick thing for the worship one. I told Christoph, I said, hey, buddy, the first song that came up for me when I hit shuffle on our Faith Church, you know, hymnal, was one I had never heard. It's so funny. We must have done it so long ago. And he's like, really? I thought they were all pretty recent. And I showed him. He goes, oh, yeah, we've never done that one. So apparently, if you just a heads up, if you've been looking at our playlist, we updated it because there was an entire album of one of the artists that we sing their songs got added to it instead of just the song that we sing. So if you had that experience like I did.
Like I did with Bon Jovi. I'm the one that had the bond. Do you remember saying that?
Yeah, Living on a Prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not on there, Jay. That was you.
That was like a shuffle. And I think when you do shuffle, sometimes
it plays music that you listen to a lot.
Yeah, no, I think it's like, well, you listen to this, so you probably like this. Well, let me ask a question. So we, as you mentioned in the message, we have preached a whole series on the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
We've actually done it a couple times, but one time we went through it really bit by bit, because there's so much there. So how did you, it's like, I knew when I asked you to do this one, I was like, okay, this is Jeff's wheelhouse. This is just teeing him up. But what I know is when I'm preaching on something that's my wheelhouse, that's good news and bad news. It's good news because like I could have just thrown you up there 5 minutes before and just said, hey, I need you to preach a message. I need you to give us something helpful through the Lord's Prayer, and you could have done it, and it would have been amazing. But it's also bad news because there's so much. There's so much that you see in it, so much you've experienced in it, so much that you would want to share in it. So how did you get to where you did with it and said, okay, I have one message, one sermon here on this, knowing that I'm bending it towards practicality, maybe that's it. But how did you like edit that down to say, okay, this is what I want to say about it?
Man, I love how you just asked that, Jay. I literally had a conversation with Jess this week when I was last week when I was prepping, and I said, you know, this is one that I feel like I could just get up and give. It's just so much of what God has done in me is related to this. And because of that, this is taking a very long time to write. And so I really did actually wrestle quite a bit. I did a number of laps around the great room, just walking and thinking and like saying, Lord, What would be so, what would be helpful? What would not just be interesting or intriguing, but what would actually be practically helpful? That was what I kind of centered on, was that question. And so that's when I, as I was looking again at it, I didn't want to just assume I know exactly what's there because I've prayed it or I've read it. I noticed, man, there's a reason that Jesus gives the teaching he does before he gives the Lord's Prayer. Like, there's actually an important reason. He's a master teacher, and he knows how we, what we need. And so I knew then for sure, once I noticed that again and had that, I think it was like a fresh thought that I had known before, but I thought I have to at least really briefly touch on the intro to the Lord's Prayer that he gives. And because as I thought about it, I thought that's actually one of the reasons that some people struggle to even imagine praying it, is some of those things that he warned us about. They've experienced that in it because of various things, you know, in their past. And then I just thought, you know, why would we actually, like, if you were sitting with me in my office right now and you were unconvinced and you said, just convince me, why should I try this? Then I thought, well, there's two reasons that mainly come to mind. That's where those reasons came from. So I would say you really need it. We need it. And it will unite you with other followers of Jesus. And then I would want to tell you how could you actually begin to do it really practically? So that's why I did what I did. And, you know, for better or worse, the things I chose, I do hope, and I had some good conversations afterwards with people that, and some texts that night of people who've already been implementing it, which is really exciting to me. And I hope that it will help. I think that the first question I had right after the sermon from someone, I just want to say it now because I think it might be helpful for other people. The first question was from someone who said, hey, I'm excited to do this. But I have this person in my life who is actually really opposed to praying any written prayers at all. What would you recommend? You know, how could I help them, or how could I frame it for them? And I thought that's a really good question, because there's a lot of people, I think, that have people in their lives who, because of, again, what stream they're in the church, this is like too traditional, too formal, right? That you'd ever pray a written prayer, and they want to help them, you know, help them see it. So that was a question. And I think my answer, you know, off the cuff there, and still pretty off the cuff, I haven't had time to dig into it more, but was kind of two things. You know, one, I wouldn't say that it's like a sin to not pray the Lord's Prayer. So I wouldn't lose sleep over that. If someone in your life won't do it, that's okay. Like, it's not that level of commitment, you know, that I'm thinking if you don't do this, you're sinning. No, not at all. But what I would say is a lot of the things that were in the sermon were aimed kind of at that target. Like, why would you do this, and how to frame it? So like singing a worship song that someone else wrote, I think a great conversation to have would be, so how do you feel like for you when you sing in worship to the Lord, how is that different than your prayer life? And there's probably some really good answers to that question. So that could be a great conversation to start that wouldn't be, you can ask it in a way that's not confrontational, right? That's just getting to know the person better. How do you experience prayer and singing differently? How do you see it differently? But then I think biblically, I would go to Jesus and how often he would pray psalms that were pre-written. So that's, to me, the biblical example is always going to be, well, what do we see in Jesus and his followers that he taught them? And he prayed psalms, especially leading into his crucifixion. He was quoting psalms regularly in prayer to God.
Right. I mean, I understand the concern. I would definitely say, well, we would need to put scripture in a different category than written prayers.
Yes.
Yeah. So there'd be a very big difference between saying, I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer versus I'm praying a prayer like the Book of Common Prayer, which I think is beautiful and wonderful, but it's certainly different. So I think that would go to even just, it reveals a little bit of how we view scripture and how we forget that scripture is just one big prayer for us. Like, we should always be praying scripture, whether you're reading something that is about God's nature, his character, or anything like that, and that should turn back into, God, thank you that you are this way. Or if it's instructions to us, God, help me to live this way. Or even if it's things that we don't understand, God, help me understand this. So prayer and scripture are so united that it shouldn't feel strange to us that we would recite the Lord's Prayer, or like the prayer of Jesus in John 17, to echo the prayer that Jesus gives. So So yeah, I would say,
or like some of, I know that for me too, some of Paul's prayers in the epistles are just so rich.
Yes.
To frame, what the priorities that we could have for other people in our life, you know, like they just really enrich it. And so I mean, I guess what I want people to hear too is if either you are there and that's where you are, I empathize with that, and I don't, I wouldn't bring a corrective, you know, like it's a sin, but I would say, it can be so enriching to really join Jesus in praying his words and join not just Jesus, but the church around the world and the church, that came before us and the church that will come after us that will keep praying those prayers. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So another question I had, well, I think one thing that I thought was great, was when you talked about both how natural prayer is and how challenging we can find it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we've thought about that before. Many people have talked about how even an atheist, you know, says, "Oh God," or, you know, "Help me find my keys," or something. Like, you just, it's instinctive. So I guess one question I have is, what does it say about prayer or about us that it's something that's so instinctive? It's so natural. I don't know anyone who in time of desperation doesn't instinctively throw out something. It's some plea for help. And yet I don't know anything that is so challenging for actual believers of Jesus. So I guess here's what I'm trying to ask is, like, why is it so natural for everyone and yet so difficult for the very people who are speaking to the God they know and knows them and loves them? Why is there that huge, does that make sense, of that disparity?
I know. It's wild, isn't it? It's just amazing.
It is. You would think if it's like a discipline that is really hard for Christians to get, that it would also be even harder for, like, so like take reading scripture, just spending time in the Word. A lot of people say, "Oh, I wish I was in the Word more," or whatever. Well, most non-believers in our culture are not reading ancient texts. That's not their natural go-to of like, "Oh, I don't know what to do with this. I'm going to find an ancient text." That's not so instinctive. But prayer is. Whereas like worship, for example, is, we are wired to worship, and so everybody worships something, but as you become a Christ follower, like, it enriches our worship. I feel like people, like, that deepens it. But prayer seems to be this, and I'd have to think more deeply about it as to how unique it actually is, but it is this strange thing that is so instinctive to the non-believer and so difficult for the believer.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it's related to that same point about worship. I think that's part of it. It, to me, it, you know, the again, off the cuff, it'd be fun to write a paper on it, right? But for now, I would say it reflects the image of God in us, like that he made us in his image. And part of that is going to be relational connection with him. And it's just in us. And we know, but we also don't know at the same time. And so I think one of the reasons it's hard for us is because the way prayer can be like framed sometimes, and the way people talk about it, is it's kind of important that we make sure God knows what we need, or we can convince him to give us what we need. So a bit of like, I would just say it's framing prayer in ways that Jesus didn't frame it. So that's part of it. Like, can we just convince God at some level to just do what I want and give me what I want, you know? And very few people would actually say it how I just did, because if you did, you'd kind of, I think, right away start to think, I don't know, it must be deeper than that. But functionally, I do think so much of what prayer is, like, and I'm thinking right now, big picture. So I remember friends of mine when I was still in my computer systems world, I had a lot of friends that were working right next to me that were from all over the world, and they had other religions that they followed. And I remember when one of them bought a new car, it was really important that he went to the temple and engaged in certain prayers so that his car wouldn't break down and so that it would be a reliable car. And so that, like, that sort of mentality, I think we actually, while Christians wouldn't do it that way, we have ways that we can function in a, I would say, parallel universe to that, where if I just do this thing the right way, God will make sure this goes really well and I won't face challenges. And that's where that was one of the reasons too, I went where I did. I wanted to kind of get us to, like, prayer is much deeper and richer, the way that it works and the way that God designed it. is so much bigger than essentially genie in the bottle kind of interaction with God. Like I get a certain number of wishes, and if I say it the right way and ask for the right things, then I'll get them. You know, it's not like that. It really isn't. And you don't see that in the scripture. You see prayer having massive effect in the world. There is just no doubt about that. It's amazing the things that God does and that we experience today that he does in response to prayer. But it's not just that. It's more than that.
Yeah, that's so good. I just find that so, I find it so fascinating. I think just also resting in just that God knows who you are, you know, and just like, I think that's, if I had to identify why, I think that a person who doesn't know who God is, it feels very impersonal. So I can just make this impersonal yes. request a little bit like, you know, like you can, I can send an email to customer service, which is different than, you know, asking you where, you know, about something. It's just, there's a little bit of naivete. And I think for some of us as Christ followers, then you just start to feel unworthy of asking things, or you feel like you just, just our own nature and does God know me well? And he does know me well. And so then I can't really get away. I don't know. It's just, there's something about that. I'm obviously not articulating that very well, but I just think it the relationship becomes complicated because I make it complicated, right? It's not complicated for God. And for what it's worth, for people, if you do get into that situation, just being honest about that. Like if you feel like you're asking for things that you're like, well, this feels selfish or whatever, then just say that. Yep. Say, God, I don't know if this is selfish or not. This is what's on my heart. And just think about what father wouldn't want their child to confess that and to be honest about those things. He already knows that. And so I've found that when I do that, when I just articulate those things out loud, that it really does give an opportunity for the Spirit to either sometimes correct, sometimes like, yes, you are being really self-centered here, but in a gentle, kind way, or like, no, this is an encouragement in that of, mm-hmm. no, this is a good thing to ask for. Those are just some of the things that my mind goes to when I think of why does this get so difficult for us seemingly the longer we go into our faith? Because I think new believers often pray pretty easily, pretty fluidly. It's just like the longer we go, the more we get into our heads about it. And I think it does become more about what you said about posturing. Mm-hmm. Well, what Jesus said about it, but you pointed out that, you know, this kind of posturing or kind of this rhythm and this routine. I did want to ask, well, actually I'll ask this later, I think, because I was going to go in order. Well, why go in order? So let me ask you this.
Here we go.
So you gave a couple of things. Like, so I love like some of the practical things. The unity and the need. Actually, let's go to the need. So you said it because we need it. You said something about it's a declaration that I am a disciple of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Can you unpack that a little bit more? I mean, you said some things in the message, but I thought, oh man, if we got to do a follow-up where we get to say, hey, I'd love you to take 5 more minutes on this point, which I've wondered about. What if we preached we could have like our phones that people could vote on, like choose your own adventure.
Yeah.
So I'll preach for 20 minutes and then I'll be like, listen, I can either go more into this or this. And then it's like the bar goes up on the screen.
Wow.
Like,
that would be super fun. I think
it could be fun. That is not something I'd want to do on a weekly basis, no. but it could be fun. So this is what I would vote for is tell me more. What do you mean when you say that the praying of this prayer is a declaration? And I don't know if you use that word, but it was like this identifying as I am a disciple of Jesus.
Yeah. Every time we pray, we're both saying to him, I am your disciple. And then we're saying to ourselves again, I am his disciple. And I think if we don't enter into the Lord's Prayer with that posture, there's a number of things I'm trying to say there. You're right. I mean, it could use like 20 more minutes. But I'm trying to help us. And for me, my experience of it is I'm being reminded again, when I, the reason I'm choosing to pray your words, Jesus, and I'm going to let you lead me, is that I need to be led. And a person who sees themselves as a disciple knows that they need to be led and taught and grow. And it'd be like if you took a class, you know, and the professor gets up and you don't think they can teach you anything, that why are you in that class? You're not really a student, right? And so I think when we submit and enter into his prayer, because he gave it to disciples, he was for his people who would come after him and follow him. When we enter into it, it's a chance to do that. And I, for my own life, and I think for most of us, I need to every day remember I am a disciple of Jesus, which means I want to learn from him. And I don't mean I need to learn a new fact or I need to, you know, learn a new angle. It sometimes is that, but it often is just, I need to learn what's going to be important for this day. I need to learn what you are about in this world and what you're doing. And so all of those things for me are what happen, you know, and it's not like every day all of them happen, but they happen frequently. And actually it's interesting that you said that. I had sketched out a whole section on how do you ask yourself and think about, are you a disciple of Jesus? Because I think that's an important question. And we've talked about this before, so for many people, this is not new information at all, but it's possible to see yourself as a Christian, but not realize that you are called to be a disciple. And discipleship is very active with him, right? It's a following him. I love, you know, you guys know I love Dallas Willard, but one of the things that he says related to that I think is so valuable is there's a difference between believing in Jesus and then believing Jesus. So you believe in him for forgiveness of sins, but then do you believe him that what he says about the world and about you and about life are true? So a disciple is saying, I want to believe you. I want to believe everything you've said about me and the world and what I'm here for. And so I think the Lord's Prayer, because it is such a summation of his teachings, is such a rich curriculum. I've had this thought too, Jay. I mean, I would love to take a group of people and just together work through it like that. Like, I think it actually is a discipleship plan. It's a framework for what, imagine taking a year with some friends and really just entering into that and working through it together. And what does it look like in each phrase to work this into my life and to be transformed by his thoughts? I think it would just be a beautiful experience. And part of it, because because it has become so central to my walk with him, I see the Lord's Prayer everywhere in Scripture now. Like, I'm reading Paul and I'm like, oh, look at that. He's quoting Jesus there. That's the Lord's Prayer. Or I read a psalm. I mean, I had a friend who did a dissertation and I can't remember exactly how he phrased it, but basically the thesis was the Lord's Prayer is all the psalms in a few sentences. It's 150 of them summed up. And I think it's true, actually. I think that's what's happening there. So you read a psalm and you see, oh my word, look at that. That's Jesus. That's his voice, actually. I can hear that through him. That's a touch on it. What I'm curious for you is, you heard me say that, and since you've thought about it since then, how would you expand on that or take another angle on it? How does it help us do that?
You know, one of the things that popped into my head was so we're formed by our prayers. Like, mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit forms us in our prayers and in a way that is unique to other things. So again, we are in, we can't help but be in the culture we're in, which the culture we in and the or that we're in the post-enlightenment world is, we just, information trumps everything. So we think that learning something new is the thing, but that's not the way that most of the world through history has viewed things, that you're formed by going deeper into these core ideas and these core truths. So in a way, praying that prayer is like a reorientation, not only of what you're actually praying, but the fact that you're even praying it. So this is, I don't know how you feel about this example, but what popped in my head was like, singing the national anthem before like every game and every, you know, in every scenario. And as you know, because you've interacted with international students, that's a unique thing. Mm-hmm. Like, when people come to our country, they're like, wait, you sing the national anthem like before a high school basketball game? And like, Yes, we do it all the time. Well, why? There's a powerful thing that happens when you're kind of uniting, you're kind of reorienting, and you're saying, you're identifying in this way. And I think when Jesus says, when you pray, pray in this way, there's part of it that is, okay, I'm declaring my allegiance to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like I'm declaring, I'm trusting him, and I'm going to say these things. It's not about these magic words, but there's something about trusting him and saying, you know, so much like, you know, we've talked about here, if people are doing this, if people right now are singing a song every day and praying this prayer every day, they're trusting us by stepping into these habits that they may not fully understand, or they may not fully understand why it will be beneficial. I guarantee anybody that does this every day, you'll probably be, my guess is that you will be surprised at how much it transforms you. Like, you'll probably go, you know what? Yeah, I think this will be nice. Like, maybe you're some range of, I think it'll be good. I think it'll be nice. Or I'll just do it because they asked me to do it. And sure, what else am I going to do? It could be any of those things. But the fruit of it will be greater than you anticipated. And so I think that that trust that the congregation is showing in us to say, okay, I trust my pastors in this, so I'm going to go ahead and step into this. Well, how much more would we trust Jesus when he says, when you pray, pray in this way, and say, okay, I'm going to trust you and pray. I'm going to pray this every day. And it's like this declaration of Jesus, I trust you. You told me to pray in this way. I'm going to pray in this way because I trust you, you know, in this.
Yeah, I totally agree. I love that. I have a quick story to share related to that. So many of you know, we lived in Canada for a few years, had a great experience there on mission. And down the street from our house was a stadium that hosted both Canadian Football League games, CFL games, and then professional soccer games. And occasionally in the professional soccer matches, an American team would come to play a Canadian team. And I can tell you, being in a foreign country and hearing your anthem before a match is a really, it to me, it was a super unique experience. And one of the times I heard it is, we heard it at hockey games sometimes if we go to a professional game. We were at this soccer match, and this young woman was singing the national anthem, because they would sing that first and then they'd sing O Canada, and she just blanked on the words in the middle of it. It's not her anthem. Her anthem is O Canada, but she wanted to do, you know, the national anthem first. She blanked on it. And it was that moment where everyone there watching is just like, oh no. And the whole crowd just started singing the national anthem. All these Canadians that I'm surrounded by were singing the national anthem. It was such a moment for me as an American of just feeling like it's warmth and like,
sure.
But the thing that I wanted to like point out, whenever you'd hear the national anthem living in another place, I think one of the ways that's similar or maybe parallel to this Lord's Prayer is that right now, this is not the kingdom we belong to, the place that we live. It's the place that God has situated us, but we're sojourners. We're citizens of the kingdom of heaven, colonizing this place, earth, with his ways. And so when we pray the Lord's Prayer in this place with other people, we're telling each other and Jesus, again, like what you just said, you have my allegiance and your kingdom has my allegiance, even though I'm living here. And that's what it would feel like for us, and on a different level, not as deep at all as the Lord's Prayer, but you hear that anthem. Yeah. That's where I'm from. That's my home. It felt much more emotional hearing it there than it ever does for me here, because I know I'm not at home right now. And I think that's a reminder of it. It's part of being a disciple, is remembering that, like, I am living in a place that is not as it ought to be, nor as it will be, you know, and it does that as well. So yeah, I agree with you, Jay. And I think those are just reason upon reason upon reason that it can be so transformative, that God uses it to do that.
Well, and that was your second point of the unity of like bonding us together, which I thought was beautiful, talking about in Romania, you know, hearing that prayer and knowing what that prayer was and being able to pray it with them. Mm-hmm. And just what you said there about the national anthem, like if it's true for you being in Canada, how much, you know, to hear the national anthem, how much more, you know, is the eternal,
yes,
you know, the eternal significance of the Lord's Prayer and that bonding us together. But I also loved, you know, and we pointed this out when we preached through the Lord's Prayer, you can't get away from the fact that it is a plural prayer. It is a communal prayer. And again, much like we are in our post-Enlightenment culture, we're also in a very individualistic culture that we think the most spiritual things that we do are the things that we do individually. And those things are important. And I'm so thankful that we live in an era where we can just access God's word at any point and any time. But it is amazing, and I'll get to talk about this next week, of that there's a communal nature of this prayer, literally in the words. There is no I or me. It's us, our, and like I just, so not only uniting among different cultures in the world, but also throughout history. You know, so for 2,000 years, this prayer has been prayed like by billions of people. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And so I know in my house, one of the things that was striking when we talked about it was that was pointed out was just that idea that it's being prayed all the time. Mm-hmm. Like somewhere in the world right now, somebody is praying the Lord's Prayer.
Yes. It's just so, I love that thought so much. It's an unbelievably powerful thought. And yeah, the time praying it in Eastern Europe like that in Moldova, knowing that I can't say it how they're saying it. I don't know those words, but I know what they're praying. And I also know this isn't their home either. Like we're part of another kingdom together. It's just so powerful in the way that God can use it to help us all together. And the problems that they're facing there, the challenges to follow Jesus there are different than the ones we have. They're just different. But where we're headed together are those same priorities that he sets for us in that prayer. They're also praying, not my kingdom come, but his. I don't want to remake Moldova in my image anywhere that I want to make this place in my image. It's his kingdom. It's his world. And it's so powerful that way. But yeah, I love that thought of like all the time someone is praying it. And in that way, you can actually feel, for me at least, what that does is it actually, there's a level of responsibility in it that I feel like when I pray it, it's my turn. Mm-hmm. It's my turn to take the baton here, yeah, for this next whatever number of minutes to enter into what God is doing in the world. Because we know, I mean, it's actually hard to wrap my, for me, it's hard. Maybe other people, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around that God actually hears our prayers and acts like he does. He responds to them. He chooses to do things that way. I believe that that's one of the ways he's going to bring his kingdom to bear the way he wants to, is that his people are praying for that to happen. And then all the other things we pray in there.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about that with how, when we take communion, that we are uniting with our brothers and sisters across not only the world, but across history. We say that when we sing the doxology, that's a unifying thing. But the Lord's Prayer, I mean, what just stuck out to me right there is just the simple thought that when I'm praying it, like imagine if we could see, if we had the perspective of God in that moment, and here I'm praying it on my way to work at the same time that a Christian in the underground church in China is praying, you know, like an 8-year-old is praying it before they go to bed.
Yep.
You know, like, and at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, it just makes me think, I don't know who's praying it right now. Like somebody is praying it somewhere. And yeah, so it is both that I want to participate in that, like I'm taking the baton, but also even in that moment, even when we say it by ourselves in like alone in the court, in the heavenly choruses, it's not alone. It's, and so never, it makes sense for us to say our anyway, because we're actually saying it in unison with somebody speaking it in, you know, in Tagalog or something. Like it's just, it's wild.
It is. And I, you know, to keep the sermon within the time it was, I couldn't go into this, but think about that too. So knowing that you are joining brothers and sisters in that moment, like when we pray, give us today our daily bread, it's like, yeah, it's all the people in my life here, but it's like them and all the people in their life there. Like it's so expands our imagination, I think, for what God's doing in that moment. Yeah, it's rich that way. And I don't know that there's really any other vehicle that does it in quite that way. I think it's that unique because it transcends denominational lines and it transcends time that way. It's his word. It's a powerful way too of how God has preserved his church. Like Jesus has kept it that way and that we all do that.
And it is interesting that, you know, one of the things that's unique about Christianity is that it's not dependent on a culture. So it's not a specific language, a specific style of dress, a specific cultural understanding, that it infuses and transforms cultures. And so most of the gospel is that way. Most of it is that the kingdom plants and it transforms from the inside out. And there's not, we don't have a whole list of these are all the prayers we're supposed to pray throughout the day. And this is what a worship service should look like. And this is the language it should be spoken in. And this is like, there's not that. It's interesting in the context of that God gave us just a couple of things like the Lord's Supper and baptism, the Lord's Prayer. Like these are these specific things that it's just like, yeah, but here's a couple, like here's a few anchor points that are going to be common across cultures and across time. And I just think it's so beautiful. Before we wrap up, I do want to touch on some of the practical stuff that you said. I loved, you know, just the embodied soul, which I thought was funny because I thought you should probably explain what you started to sound a little new agey there of, you know, I was like, man, is he going to explain what do you mean by embodied soul? But just the fact of like your body participating in it. And I thought that was so good. You gave a couple of examples, but like, I wondered, I mean, even walking around or doing whatever, is there anything you would expand on any of that? Like, how do you determine, because you mentioned kneeling and saying, well, you might not be able to kneel or whatever, but what does that look like for you? And does it look different in different times? And what are some of those things where you say, you know what, I'm going to, like, when do you decide, like, hey, I'm going to go for a walk and pray this, or when I'm going to get, like, on my face and pray this, and when I'm going to, you know?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say for me, it's pretty spontaneous what it looks like. So sometimes it is, you know, a lot of you know I love to walk. So sometimes it is I'm walking alone or I'm walking with someone. I mentioned, you know, my Marinette friends that were praying for Marinette in advance of the gospel there. And we prayed it together probably a month ago on a Wednesday night. We prayed through it a phrase at a time. And we were just sitting in chairs. So I would say my main encouragement would be to just be mindful of what you're doing with your body. I think sometimes we err on the side of the soul part of our embodied soul when it comes to our spiritual practices, and we can lose sight of God intends that our bodies are involved in this, and whether or not we know it, our bodies are involved, and our body communicates something to Him and to our own inner world, our own inner self, what we're doing. So sometimes I will kneel. I have to say I don't kneel a lot. For me, it's not very comfortable. So I bet if I did kneel more frequently, it would get easier. I have Leslie actually made me a prayer stool, like for kneeling, that occasionally I'll use, and it helps take some of the weight off my knees. But I don't know if you've ever seen one of those, but they're fairly short and you're on your knees. So your legs go underneath the stool behind you as you're kneeling. And that's been helpful. But I think some people just even praying, like standing, just being upright. And, you know, I didn't say anything about phones because we say things about phones all the time, but it goes with it that when you intentionally put yourself in a posture of prayer, your phone is not going to be part of that. It's going to be away. So like that's the removing distractions that goes with it. There's just always something right now in our lives that can ding, right? It's just so funny. And I think the being aware of it like that can help. The praying on your face, like face down for me is usually if I do that, I'm in a pretty desperate moment. It's reflecting that before God. So I would say that's less frequent for me, but How about you?
I mean, I think the walking, I've noticed I'll even have different hand gestures so when it's our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, that there's like kind of a praise motion of like my hands outward, up and out. But then when your kingdom come, like your will be done, just kind of turning more into that receiving of like, I want it to come here and first and foremost in my heart and in my life. I think that it's interesting that you touched on that because I touched on it with music. And
similar.
So I love that is a common thread here of like, don't be afraid of what your body is not detached from your soul. Like, you know, we believe that all of this is created by God. And so, let your body participate in it. I think that's really good. And then I think I was so encouraged by the idea of, you know, slowing down. I love that you pointed out that it takes like 25 seconds, 23 seconds, whatever it was.
I literally got my stopwatch out and did it while I was writing.
Yeah.
To see.
And it was 23 seconds. So you said,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that right there, even if for the people who struggle with it, because it is so rote, you know, because it just kicks into this habit. What I would say is, there's any number of things you can do. This goes both to the body and to slowing down, but you're throwing a curveball. Like the reason why it's routine is because you're doing it in the same way every time.
Yes.
And so if you let the curveball not be like, well, I'm not going to pray the Lord's Prayer anymore. Let the curveball be how you do it or how long it takes. And I love how you gave that counsel of just even when you went into the whole meditative and conversational of circling back. And I would say, don't be afraid to break off in the middle of it too. Like, and so that's how I typically do it. So I don't typically circle back. I typically, you know, as I'm going through it and I'm giving it time and space, right? So each phrase, like I'll say, and I'll slow down. So even before we did this, like if I'm doing it, I'm slowing down and just giving it space and letting my mind go to, you know, where it goes. And then that'll often provide like an offshoot. And there are many times where I've prayed the Lord's Prayer and I never got through the whole Lord's Prayer because I detoured at the, you know, give us this day our daily bread. And like you pointed out, either for myself or for someone that I'm thinking about, of Lord, would you give them what they need? Like my friend is really struggling with this. They are worried about these finances or these whatever. And so I'm praying for them. And then I like end up kind of going off on another tangent and never come back fully. Like that's okay. It's, but then sometimes I'll then come back. And so a lot of times I'll come back then to the next phrase. And then it's so interesting that because I think the way I'm wired is I'll think it's almost like an OCD kind of thing. I'll feel like I got to say all the words or I'll feel like I need to, if I'm going to give that much time, I need to give equal time to every line. So that's just a insight into my weird brain. So if anybody out there is like that, just know that you don't have to do that. Like you don't, if you give 5 minutes, you know, or if you give a couple of minutes to, you know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You don't have to give like 3 minutes to every line.
No,
you don't have to divide it equally. You don't have to give equal time to all those, like let it stir your heart. However it stirs your heart. That's another way that it'll keep it fresh. Because one day you'll really get stuck on, you know, my Father in heaven because you've been struggling with your identity and being loved. And so you just sit there for a long time. And then another time you'll linger in the forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us because you need to forgive somebody or you need forgiveness. And that's all really beautiful.
It is. I love that. And I would say I definitely have the same experience. You know, where I just sometimes, I mean, like, even if I mean to pray through all of it, like conversationally, so I'm not just saying the words, but I don't make it all the way through because his spirit leads me other places. I'll say, I mentioned just briefly how Graham and I have a habit of praying it together in the morning too. And this isn't an everyday thing, this part, but I'll just put it out there as an idea for families or, you know, friends. oftentimes when we're done praying, because our prayer will include the Lord's Prayer and then other things too, I will ask him and he'll ask me, so what part of the prayer today is really striking you as an area of need or a way that you need to be encouraged? And what that does is it helps us both to be focused on Jesus and his work and to be connecting intimately with each other. Because I can say to him, yeah, buddy, I'm actually feeling pretty exhausted about this day. It's gonna be a long one. So I'm feeling like I really need manna from heaven. I need daily bread today. So as you think about me today, could you pray that I experience that tangibly? And he might say something similar. So it's interesting how it can both unite us as we pray and then as we talk about what we prayed afterwards too or before. It's just really beautiful because it gives us really topics of conversation and ways of thinking. Because I don't know if you've ever had this, Jay, I'm sure you have, where you want to pray for someone and you ask them, what can I pray for you? And they basically tell you, there's nothing, everything's great, you know? And I get that answer, I get what that means. But the truth is there's always something. There's always something I can pray for you. There's always something you can pray for me. And this prayer expands the categories that we might think about of how we need prayer, how we need God.
Absolutely. So here's where I want to end this, because you talked about praying with your 12-year-old on the way to school. And I felt the collective response of the entire congregation feeling like, oh, I'm the worst parent in the world because my rides to school are often either in silence or frustration or whatever. And so I just want people to know that are hearing this, that I kind of felt, and in fact, I think Lauren and I even kind of looked at each other like, yeah, that probably should be what our rides to school are like, you know? And it's, so I think for people for whom that just feels so foreign, and like, what counsel would you give? So first of all, I'm curious, what specifically does that look like? Mm-hmm. Do you guys get in the car and you say, okay, hey, we're going to recite it together, and you say it together and then talk about it? So one, I'm wondering, what does it practically look like for you? And then knowing that if I start doing that with my kids tomorrow, it's not going to look the way that it looks for you. But what's the baby step? Like, how do I introduce that? So, mm-hmm. So one, I am curious, like, what does it actually look for you? Yep. Like, and then knowing we don't have to like try to mimic that. And if anybody hears that and goes like, well, I can't do that. Well, what can we do to like step into that?
Yeah, that's a good word. I mean, and if you know me, you know, my heart in that, my heart in that was not at all to make anyone feel horrible.
Oh, whatever. So, you know, like, well, my family. No, no. Of course
not. But I just want to say that. And it isn't at all. So the reason that I need to do that is I am such a mess that way. Like when I wake up in the morning, I need God's help so much. And so that's the heart behind that, just to make that clear. And this is what it looks like. So I have my driveway is a bit of a hill. By the time I drive down the driveway and I'm pulling forward with him, I say, buddy, what do you need today from God? What do you need? What's a challenge? What's going on? And that conversation is really normal. It's not spiritual sounding. It's like, today I have a basketball practice and this, and I'm, you know, maybe concerned about this. And so I will then say, okay, and here's something that's going on for me today. And then we just pray, I pray for that. And then towards the end of that time of prayer for the requests, I literally say these words. And now we're going to pray the way Jesus taught us to pray. And then because we do it regularly, we just pray it. And then it's amen. And for us, again, it's not because we have to do it, even if we don't feel like it or something. I there are days I'm sure where we don't, but more often we do. It's just become our habit. And Graham has taken up, I mean, again, this is not heaping, hopefully not. It is helpful to hear what other people do. And I'd love to hear what other people do too. Graham has begun the habit because our ride's long enough that he will open up what he's reading in the Bible and just read it out loud for 30 seconds. He's usually like a paragraph. And then he'll say, whoa, or what does this mean, Dad? Or, and I'll say, what do you think it means? And we just talk briefly about, right now he's reading Ephesians. So that's what's happening. And the only reason that's happening, again, to make it really clear, is I, apart from God's grace every day of my life, I will not get through the day. I just feel that so intensely. And I know that it's the same for him. And so that's what we do. It's not a display, and it's nothing more than a desperate cry for help. And that's the way we do it. So if that's helpful, I hope it is. And I know every situation is different, and there's so many that could never be the reality, because you have to be at work before your kids are at school, or you don't get to take them that way. And so however it looks in your life, if you feel that way, like I do, that desperate need for his help, I would just encourage you, look for the moment where it could work, and begin building it in the moments when the kids can handle it. Cause sometimes the kids can't handle it. Like, that's part of all of it, is that we are such packaged deals and mixed bags as humans. We can have such good intentions that never go anywhere because life is just complex. It is. So I would just, my word of encouragement to parents especially would be, it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be formal. For us, it's really conversational. And I say this all the time, but I need to be alerted and reminded of the reality that I'm living in God's presence. And so I'm basically just doing that with him as I'm doing it, you know? And so that's what it looks like. Sorry, you got me a little choked up,
well,
but I just feel it.
But here's the thing. I think that is a really great illustration of the tension we often feel as pastors. So if anybody's hearing that and hearing what you do, and they're thinking, oh gosh, like, well, my life doesn't look like that at all. Well, I want them to know mine doesn't. Like, if you got in the car with me, everything that you said there, I'm not saying I've never had any of those conversations with my kids, but it doesn't look like that. But I think sometimes we get into this place where we feel almost guilty about sharing some of the beautiful things that are happening, because we're afraid it's going to look like either posturing, or we're afraid we don't want to heap. I know for you, you don't want to put some kind of burden on somebody to feel like, well, I don't measure up to that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I just, like, we just, like, that's part of following Jesus together is, one is, we should be able to hear honest feedback like that when somebody's doing something like that, and it not feel like an indictment on ourselves, but rather a picture of, oh, this is possible. Like, there, like, this is what God has given us. And so I just want to encourage all of us, like, yes, there is a way. There's certainly a way that you could have shared that. Everything can be perverted. And I think one of the things Satan loves to do is make us scared to share really beautiful things that are happening, because we're afraid, well, what will that, you know, it's a little bit like, I've known people who are hesitant to share when they get a clear screening from cancer and mm-hmm. they're cancer free, because they don't want to burden someone else or have somebody else say, well, why do I have cancer? And that's just from the enemy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we are all just fully dependent on God's grace together. And part of the way we grow is hearing how other people, about other people's walk with Jesus. And I'm really thankful that we have that. I think we can fall into the ditch of being like, putting that out there as, oh, look what I do, and this is what you should also do. But we can also fall into the ditch of trying to be so not that we end up not giving people a real picture of, well, what this could look like. And I'm so encouraged by that, of what you, I hope that either people are identifying with you and saying, oh yeah, that's been my experience, or they're identifying with me saying, that has not been my experience, but the way that I receive that is almost like a hopeful anticipation and a desire, and knowing that it is, yeah, it's all of our desperate need. So if anybody's curious, like, for me, when I hear that and I think, okay, how do I start that? I love, like, that was so helpful to hear how it actually starts, because how it actually starts is, hey, what do you need today?
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking about today? And I would just encourage anybody that's a really easy place to start. You don't, and I would encourage, like, maybe people, maybe before that, maybe that starts at the dinner table or at the breakfast table before, whenever you get that moment, having a regular check-in with your kids, for example, and I'm speaking specifically to parents in that situation, but this is, you can apply this to friendships, you can apply this anywhere, where you have like this moment of asking, like stepping into their lives and saying, what do you need right now? Like, what is, we've talked about this before. What is it you're really desiring? What is it what fears do you have? What desires do you have? What needs do you have? And when you get that from people, then going to prayer and then, you know, working in, the Lord's Prayer. What I love about what you just said there is we're just kind of, and we gotta land the plane here. But what I love about what you just said there was, that by doing that at the end, by doing the Lord's Prayer kind of at the end, it allows you to pray it in a different way. Because mm-hmm. if you just talked about, oh, here's this thing that I need, mm-hmm. could you pray that for me? Then when you pray, give us this day our daily bread, it mm-hmm. means something different. It means something, or at least it means something more tangible.
Yes.
So I think that's really helpful. And even as we go through these disciplines, I've had people asking like, well, does it count? Like they're tongue in cheek. They'll be like, well, I sang a song that we don't sing at church. Does that count? Or I sang, you know, this song was only 3.5 minutes long. Does that count? And I know it's tongue in cheek, but it also plays to like our personalities of like, just think about how quickly we go to checking a box. And, you know, if one ditch is too much structure, the other ditch is no structure. And we I hope that we can continue to walk in these disciplines and in these habits and just see what God does. And I love like to end your main, that one point, the key point you made, that it's Jesus that changes us. Mm-hmm. So these are like means of grace. You're just mm-hmm. stepping into his presence and practicing these things and seeing what he does with them. So we're hoping that that's helpful to you as we do this together. We would love to hear stories about how that's forming you. I've gotten some texts. I think you have too. Mm-hmm. I would love to collect those. And I'd love for people, even if we share them anonymously, like we're not going to out you when we, you know, preach a sermon. I think sometimes when I call people out, like they should know, unless it's you, I always talk to them first. So you're never going to be surprised, you know, that I, and you know, on the podcast, we always try to guard that. So you don't need to worry if you share something with us that we're going to like, you know, and Susie says this, we don't do that. It's not our desire. But I think it would be so good for us communally to hear the little stories of how God is using this. So if you have experienced that, please let us know. You can email us at connect@faithpeshtigo.com or write it on a connection card on a Sunday morning, or you can just go on our website and, you know, or on our YouTube channel, there's a connection card. Just somehow share the story, even if you think it's small, because those are actually the most beautiful ones. We would love to hear that and be able to share that and help people know, hey, you're not alone in this. So, we really appreciate you taking the time to listen. We hope that that this podcast has been helpful to you. Until next time, grace and peace.